Blog Talk Radio.
Kind of hard to overlook that vast amount of literature, but we are better, aren't we, at noticing the outward rather than the inward. And so I just wanted to share today a little bit about compassion, because that's the foundation of the love and of the mercy and of the grace and of all those attributes that Jesus displays toward us. And that is his compassion. And if anything, we have to say that Jesus is outstandingly compassionate. So what is compassion? I notice the more modern dictionaries say it's pity. But we use that word pity a lot, and it doesn't really go anywhere. But compassion, from Webster's 1828 dictionary, defines compassion a suffering with another, painful sympathy, commiseration, being filled with distress for another. And compassionate is defined as a disposition to show love and mercy, to be tender and easily moved by the sufferings and distresses of others, a hurt in the gut. And as you remember, especially in King James, it talks about having bowels of mercy, because it comes, you know, it's not just a feeling. It's not an emotion, it's from the gut. It has depth from within. And there never was a more compassionate person, or I want to say there was never a more compassionate heart than God's. And Jesus is the one who manifested that compassion in so many ways. And when you read the Gospels, and when it talks about Jesus having compassion, that which hurt him the most was the scattering and the desperation of his sheep. Now Matthew takes Jesus here and describes him, and he does what I think you have to do with the entire Bible, and that is Jesus is best described with verbs. So here's what he says. Jesus was going about and teaching and preaching and healing and seeing and having compassion. So let's look at those few verbs for a moment. Jesus went about. This word, periago, means to walk around observantly. To walk about observantly is not just sort of being aimless, meandering, but an observant walking around. Jesus wasn't static. But when you think about Jesus walking around observantly, the Bible also tells us that Satan walks around observantly, seeking whom he might devour. So we might say there are two who are out walking around observing. Jesus observing how he might manifest his goodness, his love, his compassion for us. Satan, how he might devour us and destroy. And I think it would be fair to say that if we are not walking around with and in Jesus, then we are fair game for Satan. Jesus walked around, coming to those who needed him. He didn't have office hours when people could search him out. But whenever Jesus came to a place, wherever that place was, Samaria, Capernaum, name all the places to which Jesus came, it says when word got out that he was coming, not even there yet, it says people came from all quarters to him. He was available. Many times it says they came from miles around. And several times they came without really a lot of assurance. Remember that time Jesus had left and they noticed he was missing? So it says they all ran to Capernaum because they thought he'd be there. Well, he did go there, but, I mean, there was no assurance. I guess that's what I would like to see amongst all of us, that kind of a hunger and a drawing that no matter what it would take, we'd get there to be with Jesus. And I know he's with us all the time and we're with him and he's in us, but yet there is still a coming to him. So he went about observantly. And he was doing exactly what he told the disciples they were to do later on. When he sent out the 12, when he sent out the 70, he said, go. And as you go, teach and preach and heal, doing all these things. So all these things are somewhat incidental to his walking around, observing, needs to touch on. So teaching, that's the next thing it says. Teaching in their synagogues. Teaching. This word didasco doesn't mean merely lecturing in a class. It doesn't even mean any kind of formal impartation of data. But this word means to guide in application. You see, every one of us knows more than we're walking in. Wouldn't you agree that we all know more than we're actually practicing? And the object of the teaching was to make that scripture that you know practicable so that you could walk it out and live it out. John Wesley understood this concept. In his preaching and teaching, he established what he called the office of the exhorter. And the task of the exhorter was to pay attention while John was preaching. And then when John was through preaching, then the exhorter would get up and say, well, here's what John has told us. Now, what are we going to do about it? And he would be the teacher and guide and say how we might be able to put this truth into practice in our daily life. We all know lots of theory, but we got to get it out of the theory, into our hands, into our hearts, into our feet, wherever it needs to be, teaching, not just giving out information, but guiding in the making that information livable. And then preaching. Sometimes we say, well, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? There is some difference. And I think that difference is exactly what I tried to explain already. The teaching is making that word workable in your life. And the preaching is the word kairos, which means to announce, to proclaim, to herald. This is what the prophets did, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord. And then they would say. And then later on, they would even be there to guide them into putting that truth into practice. But always when you see Jesus proclaiming, he's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. There's a lot of preaching going on. But I think there is not a lot of preaching of the gospel of the kingdom.